Taken now by Schwartz. Schwartz goes down left wing corner, tried to throw it in front. 3 seconds remain, and here's the shot. Stopped by Rene, and the Predators have won a classic. Ooh.
Right down to the last shot. Rene sealed the post off and gets the win.
Oh, my.
And he earned it.
Yes, every bit of it.
Yes, he did. Predators beat the Blues 2-1 in a game. Pekka Rinne flat out stole. Adam Vingan will join us in studio in 30 minutes, and I'm told he's coming for me for something. I don't know. But Pekka Rinne. Floyd, I want to take everybody back a week. Pekka gets knocked out of the Vancouver game in the first, or at the very beginning of the second period, Pekka gets pulled out of that game. Now, Chris Mason said it on the broadcast. Pekka never had a chance. I talked to Coach Brent Peterson. Coach Peterson said Pekka never had a shot in that game. That the team never gave Pekka a chance in that Vancouver game. And when Coach Peterson says something like that, I listen to it 100%. And so we talked on Tuesday about Pekka. And I said on this show, and you said it too, the idea of the fans that said, hey, it's time to turn it over to Saros. And Pekka's done, and he needs to be the backup, and that's what he is, and Saros is the guy. And I was not ready to go there, and neither were you. This show was not ready to write Pekka off. In fact, we looked at it, and it was goals against average. Pekka in his career, mid-twos. This year, low threes. Saros, career, mid-twos. This year, low threes. To me, the defense was stinking equally in front of both of them. And Saros was playing well and is red hot right now. And this doesn't mean anything towards Saros. But what did we take away from Pekka Rinne's performance last night? And Pekka was asked about the pressure and the way he's been playing of late and how it hasn't been up to his standard. This is what Pekka said last night on NBC Sports Network after the Predators win.
It's been a challenging year, to be honest with you. And, I think by at this point I'm just trying to treat every game as a playoff game, and obviously didn't play last few games, and Jussi has been playing so well, and so it's a great I mean for me it's a different situation that I'm used to, and when I get back out there I just trying to treat it the right way, not to take too much pressure on the way I've been playing, and tonight was a good game.
Floyd, what do you think about, our decision to not bail on Pekka Rinne, even when he was giving up a lot of goals or getting pulled or whatever, but two, more importantly, what did you make of his performance yesterday?
Well, the performance yesterday was fantastic. I mean, there was no doubt about that. He had a series there where he had to stop more than one shot on goal by the same guy, standing right in front of him. I mean, it looked like they were playing ping pong for a second. You got to give him all the credit in the world. I thought that little blip was interesting because it, in my mind, he made it sound kind of like he's becoming more and more understanding of the fact that Saros is going to take over and that whole process is sooner rather than later. And so I think he's starting to understand that a little bit, and it sounds like he's okay.
Well, he said after the Winnipeg series 2 years ago that he knew that Saros' time was coming and that at some point he was going to have to step out of the way and let him take over.
Right.
That being said, I'm going to sit here for Pekka Rinne. I just think Pekka's willing to address the obvious that maybe some people don't want to ask him. Like, Pekka, it looks like you're losing your job. What do you think about that? No one's going to ask him that question, but he's just going to address it anyways because it's the elephant in the room.
And I think too, that's going to be, I think when that all comes about, it'll be handled very, very delicately. It's not, the obvious will be out there. Everybody will see it. Everybody will know.
Wasn't it obvious
but
now? He just played him.
There won't be a lot of discussion about it.
Wouldn't you say that's where we are right now? I mean, he's played, Saros has played 4 out of the last 5 games. And that to me is an obvious, well, I guess until last night it was 4 out of 5. To me, that's an obvious sign. You know, they have all the days off after the Vancouver game, and Soros goes out Thursday and Saturday. Hines has made it clear. Now, Soros is playing really, really, really well, so I get that. And Hines even said the other day when asked about it that Pekka's been playing great, but Soros has been playing great, and that they're going to need them both. And I agreed with what Hines said. I just have two takeaways from this. I don't think you make the playoffs. I don't think you have any chance of making the playoffs if Pekka Rinne doesn't play well down the stretch, whether that's in a starter or a backup role. And if you do make the playoffs, and I think there's a fraction of the fan base or a handful of people, or I don't know how many you want to call it, say 35%. I think there are 35% of the fans out there who are saying, if you make the playoffs, anything can happen, and this team has the roster to be able to make a deep playoff run. I think you need Pekka Rinne if you're going to make a deep playoff run. And I don't mean that as a backup to Soros. I think Pekka Rinne is going to have to play in the playoffs, and he's going to have to play well. Like, does that mean that you go down 0-2 in a playoff series and you flip it to Pekka and he goes in there and wins you that series? Does it mean that, you know, Soros has a bad night, Pekka comes in relief, and finally, for the first time in the history of this franchise, a goalie gets pulled and you come back and win a game? I don't know the answer. But I don't think you can win the Stanley Cup without Pekka Rinne playing a very important role in that.
Yeah, I don't know. That whole thing is going to be so touchy. I mean, so because everybody has such respect for Pekka, and they're not going to do anything to humiliate him in any way, shape, or form, you know, and that's why it's going to be difficult because, you know, like you said, at some point in time, whenever that point comes, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a transition for him.
It's right now. He just said it. It's right now. What you're talking about is right now.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You could be exactly right. I'm just not sure. I don't know. You know, I don't know how you gracefully do that. I mean, you can't, you know, you can't have Soros start two games and Peck go in and play five games and win a series and say Soros is a starting goalie. I mean, that ain't going to happen.
Well, if you plan, I mean, you can't plan that, right? Like, you can't. So if you get into the playoffs, the only thing that you can really control is who's going to start game one, right? Like, that's the one thing that you control is whoever starts game one is your number one goalie, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, so you start game one, Soros goes out there and gets beat 6-0. You think you stay with Soros game two?
If it was Pekka, we would.
But I didn't say that, though. I'm saying, do you? Well, and then, I don't know what Hines would do.
Then wait, then I'm not sure you can say Soros is a starter. If Pekka went in and got beat 3-1 in an opening game, he would play the next night. And if they lost, he'd play the next night. Why? He's a starting goalie. You're in the playoffs. You're the starting goalie. You play. And if you can't do that, then I don't know how we can classify you as a starting goalie. I mean, if you're going to go out there, lose the first one, get jerked, and not go back in, and then Pekka comes in and plays six, you're not the starting goalie. I don't care what you call it.
I mean, that's happened in hockey before, though, with guys that are legit starters.
I don't know.
I mean, we saw it the first time we started this. Corey Crawford starts the first playoff series, gets pulled. Scott Darling goes in. Darling wins them a couple of games. Darling gets pulled. Crawford goes back in, and they beat the Predators in the first round, and they go on to win the Cup. And we've seen this happen before.
Yeah, I don't – and all that could be true.
I'm just saying, where you were before, Pekka was never an option to not start in the playoffs. Never.
No, he was the guy. Why? You know, I mean,
that's changed now. If there are playoffs to be had, that is changed. If you go into a playoff series, and let's say Soros starts the playoffs, because I believe if the playoffs started today and you were in and John Hines was coaching, that you see Soros is starting game one. And there's probably a lot of merit behind that. If you go down 2-0 in a playoff series, Pekka Rinne is going in. Like, Pekka Rinne starts game three if you're down 0-2.
In my mind, you can say what you want, but Soros is not the starter.
Then who is the starter?
If he goes in, that's what I'm saying. It's just like it's always been. Pekka's a starter. Soros' play time increases as you go. It's the way it's been for the last 2-3 years, however long.
But if you're going to start the playoffs and you're not going to start Pekka Rinne in game one, then he's not your starter.
No, you can say he is the starter, but we're starting Soros because he played well, or it's his turn, or it's whatever.
In the playoffs?
Yeah.
You've never done it. It's his turn in the – no one has ever done it. It's his turn in the playoffs.
That's what I'm saying. So if Soros starts, then he should go take the run. That's it. That's what we do. Isn't that what we've done forever?
But that's not how – like in hockey, that's not – it's – I want to say it's like a quarterback, but it's not. But it's almost like in certain cases – like I'm trying to think of a team where they would actually maneuver the quarterbacks in and out. And I can only think of one, which was a Cleveland team a handful of years ago that made the playoffs. And that is the sense of whichever guy's playing better is going to get the nod. And it's never been like that around here before. But this year in the playoffs, if you make the playoffs – it will be whichever guy's playing better is going to get the nod.
That's it. That's exactly what I just said. Whoever's playing better will get the nod.
But it's never been that way before.
Why is he starting? Well, no. But it's never. We've never gotten to the point where Soros is playing more and more and more games. I mean, and it'll be even worse or more extreme next year. You know, assuming they're all back together. But, I mean, it'll be more extreme. That's the way it's been. Every year it's increased from that standpoint. And I don't know what the numbers are. I mean, I don't think it's been dramatic, but it's been an increase. And this year's going to be even more of an increase.
No, this year's totally different. This year is, he just played 4 out of 5.
I don't care. He got
Soros never played 4 out of 5.
He got pulled three ago, whatever it was, whenever he got pulled. Soros went in, he won, and he played the next couple, which I don't. Again, I don't, I mean, to me, that's what I would expect.
I don't think that would have happened last year. I think last year.
Forget last year. It's changed every year. That's my point.
Because Soros is the starter.
No, because Soros gets more and more play time every year.
This, what's going on right now is not planned at the beginning of the year. What now, Soros playing more was probably planned at the beginning of the year. What's going on right now was not planned at the beginning of the year. The idea that Pekka would be sitting second fiddle. Pekka just said it. We just played the clip. And if you get into the playoffs, Pekka, again, the way things are right now, Pekka probably plays second fiddle. And if you lose some games and you need to change it up, Pekka goes in. And I don't understand why you're so against that.
I just don't. I don't change quarterbacks.
That's what this
is. If you're my quarterback, you're going. That's it. That's me.
I mean, it would be like, although Marcus stunk it up this year, it would be like if Tannehill stunk it up in the playoffs, you turn around and you put Marcus in.
No, that would not happen.
That's what this would be, though.
Well, that's fine.
But Washington won a cup doing it 2 years ago. Braden Holtby, former Vezina Trophy winner, had a tough season. Philip Grubauer started. Philip Grubauer goes 0-2 against Columbus. In comes Braden Holtby, and the Capitals win the cup.
I don't guess.
Remember
what?
The Murray and Fleury thing from a couple years ago against Pittsburgh?
I don't care about that. I don't care what.
Well, you can't
somebody...
look at your team and say your team is like a football team and everybody else's team is different.
No, no. I'm saying this team has been the same for the last however long. That's the way I viewed them. Now, can they change? Obviously, they can change. They just change coaches. So everything is wide open. I mean, how do you know? But until I hear David or until I hear the coach say Soros is the starting goalie, then in my mind, it hasn't changed.
Well, they're never going to say that.
Well,
why would they say that? All you do is embarrass Pekka by saying that. Your actions tell you what they're doing. Let's take your calls on it. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. What did you make of Pekka's dominating performance last night? And what do you make of the fact that it looks like he's kind of the backup and he's kind of admitted that it's a different situation? 615-737-1025. Jared and the GM live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 1025 The Game.
Barron across the line. Now the puck comes back, and the puck is swept wide of the net on the short side. Rebound pulled up by Perron, goes over to the right shoulder for Petrangelo. Bounces in front. Rene makes one save and then another. Big save there on Zach Sanford right in front.
Well, I think we had great goaltending tonight, first and foremost. I thought that our defensive structure helped us. We were obviously on our heels a little bit in tonight's game, but I thought if you go from the net out, we were excellent game from Pekka. I thought our defensive structure was good. We had guys committed and played strong defensively. And I think that that structure allowed us to be able to keep the puck out of the net along with Pekka's saves. And I think there's some things, you know, to take out of the game positively in that area. But, you know, there's also some other aspects that it's not the recipe to win every game. But sometimes you have to win a game that's it's gritty, it's grinding, it's not pretty. You need your goaltender to be probably your best player. And you got to have guys that just continue to hang in the fight and continue to battle. And we did that and found a way to win it.
John Hines talking about Pekka last night as he stole that game from the St. Louis Blues. 38 saves. 39 shots for the Blues, 38 saves for Pekka Rinne. Texter into the text line says, could we be looking at a Brock Osweiler, Peyton Manning situation surrounding Saros and Rinne? How about that for a comparison, Floyd? They go with Peyton Manning. Peyton looks like he doesn't have it anymore. They switch to Osweiler. Osweiler then kind of falters a little bit. They go back to Manning. They win the Super Bowl.
And so we're comparing Pekka and Saros.
Could that,
to that
be how, say that now Hines is going with Osweiler, and you ride this out for a while, you get into the playoffs, you lose a couple of games, you go back to Peyton Manning, and you see where it takes you.
Sure. I mean, you could do it any way you want. That's, I mean, all of those are possibilities.
I mean, it happens in this league where teams go through the playoffs and they switch goalies.
Yeah.
So I don't see why you can be any different. Like, you're looking at it like...
Well, no. You're just trying to sell me on the fact that Saros is going to be the starting goalie and he's only going to play one game, and then we're going to pull him and put Pekka in there and let him finish the series. Well, that's not a starting goalie to me.
Well, I threw out a what-if scenario. So does that mean that Matt Murray wasn't the starter of the Penguins in 2017?
I don't know about the Penguins in 17 and really don't give a crap. I'm talking about this team now. I'm not talking about in the past, history, or any other team.
I'm just telling you that that's how this sport works.
And fine. If that's what they want to do, that's their they can do that.
But you just wouldn't consider him a starter.
Yeah,
goalie.
Don't come telling me about who's playing, who's a starter when I see who's winning games. I mean, you can call them ghosts. I don't care, but don't try to convince me that he's the man. That's my point.
I mean, if they run him out there in game one of a playoff series, which it looks like they would do, talking about Saros, then they are designating that Pekka has essentially lost his spot without them getting up in front of a microphone and telling you that Pekka's lost his spot.
And I don't believe that. I would say no. I would say he could be starting, just for what we said before, he could be starting because it's his turn, because he's playing really good, because Pekka has a ding, because of
nobody ever starts in the playoffs.
Now, if he plays the whole seven games and then starts the next one, plays the whole set and does all, then I would agree 1,000%. Then I would go, yep, that's the guy.
I mean, the same thing could happen the other way around. Like, they could go with Pekka for two games, lose both, start Juice in game three.
Yeah.
So then in that scenario, is Pekka not your starting goalie anymore?
Pekka has been the starting goalie. Pekka has always been the starting goalie.
He's not the starting goalie right now.
Have you heard anybody say that?
Did you hear Hines last week when he was asked the question, he completely avoided it?
Have you heard anybody say that?
Ian, can you pull up Friday, Hines, what he said about the goalie?
Saros is the starting goalie?
He went out of his way to not address the question.
Which tells you what?
He doesn't want to.
Which tells you there's no change?
No, it tells me that he doesn't want to shake Pekka up.
If there's no change, then.
You just said this team is going to go out of their way to not disrespect him, which is true, and it's the right thing to do. But the reason that Hines won't say it is because that would be disrespecting Rinne, and they're not going to do it, and they shouldn't do it.
Then he's still the goalie. In my mind, he is still the goalie until somebody that knows, that is the know, not you. I'm talking about the coach or the GM stands up and says, okay, there's a switch here. Then in my mind, you can play him as you want. You can go back and forth. You can alternate. You can go every third. It makes no difference to me.
They're not going to say that.
That's good.
They're not. This was Hines. John Hines asked on Thursday night about, hey, Soros is playing all these games. Is he the starting goalie?
Has UC wrestled the starting job from Pekka for the time being?
Well, I don't know about that. I think it's I think if you look at the Vegas game, Pex was probably our best player and our team wasn't very good. And then we gave the start to Juice on the road. He played well, found a way to win. It was kind of a road trip, just in a situation where he seemed like he was hot and feeling well. So we stayed with him on the road trip. I think the Vancouver game, there were some things. When you go back through the goals in the Vancouver game, again, I don't think you can necessarily say Pex didn't play well. There were some really bad bounces off Johansson's shin pad. Ham Hughes, it went in. It bounced off three guys and went in. Unfortunately, it wasn't good for him. I've liked his game. I think he's playing well, and we're going to need both guys to play well down the stretch with the amount of games we have.
Clearly went out of his way to not answer the question.
No, he answered right off the bat. I wouldn't say that. Is Soros the starter? I wouldn't say that. He is the coach, isn't he?
He is the coach.
Does the coach decide who plays where, when?
He does decide who plays.
Okay, thank you.
Soros is the starter.
I wouldn't say that. That's all I'm going by. Now, if he comes out tomorrow and says, yes, he is, then great. More power to you.
Chris is up next. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, I just, you know, last year it felt like everyone fan-wise, you know, it was time for Soros to take over. I think about, you know, Brett Favre, if he had still been in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers starting, you know, Aaron makes one mistake. How do you not put in Brett Favre? You know, this guy's done everything for you and, you know, has that held Soros back.
Thank you for the call. I don't know how you can argue that it's hold Soros back. He's playing great. Like idea of having Pekka out there, I highly doubt
that.
And again, you've lost enough games already this season where you need to win almost every night out. So it's a good thing that you got one of these two guys to run out there. You know, that you're not running out Cam Talbot in order to win games for you, because Cam Talbot kind of sucks. So you're not running out, or even like these other guys that are like career backups. I know Anton Hudobin kills the Predators, but Anton Hudobin is a career backup. You don't have a career backup behind either Soros or Rene. You've got a legitimate starter that is going to start on the other nights. And you have to have it, because if you don't have it, you know, you're not even in the playoffs right now. So you got to have those great performances and go. What you got out of Pekka last night is exactly what you had to have. And that's where I'm looking at this stretch, and I'm saying the way that these goalies have played, they got to keep playing that way. And I still think, I think you need both of them to make it to the playoffs, and I believe you're going to need Pekka Rinne if you want to win the Cup. Maybe Pekka can start and get you through it and whatever, but I don't see you going the distance. Going the distance may be an overstatement anyways. But if Pekka Rinne is not in net, I don't know. And I love Soros, so it's nothing against him in that regard. Adam Vingan in studio next, and apparently, boy, he is mad at me. Did you notice his most popular tweet of the Predators game last night? I know you didn't because you don't have Twitter, but his most popular tweet of the Predators game last night was about me. It's very exciting. We'll get to that coming up next. Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. They're proud supporters of the Nashville Predators, no matter who's in net. And they'll be proud to support your HVAC unit if you've got a faulty unit, because Hiller is going to take care of your heating bills this year. Get a new HVAC unit. If you've got a faulty one, get a new one from my friends at Hiller. They had an overwhelming response of their HVAC promotion, and it's going to go all the way through the end of the month. So from now until the 29th, when you buy a new HVAC unit, Hiller will pay your heating bills all year long. That's up to $1,200 worth of savings. Don't wait to schedule. It's so simple. Use your phone right then and there. Go to happyhiller.com, pull it up, set your appointment, and get Hiller out there. Whenever I have a problem at my home with anything, plumbing, heating, cooling, or electrical, I go right to Hiller. And I usually say, call the Happy Face truck. I don't call them. I go on my phone, happyhiller.com. I just plug in the time that I want them to come. They give me the window. They send me a text message immediately letting me know when my appointment is going to be. And it's done, simple as that. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Predators and the Tennessee Volunteers. Call the Happy Face truck today. Jared of the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Adam Vingan in studio coming up at 6 o'clock. He'll be on Preds Insiders. Okay, so you wanted – so I asked you if you could come on, talk about the Predators and their big win last night, and then you got really, really excited this morning about the idea of coming on this show.
Well, Jared, before we begin this conversation, I have something that I would like the listeners to hear. So, Ian, would you please?
Guess what? They're not going to turn the corner. It's over. I'm out. I'm done. Finito. Forget about it. I do not see this team turning the corner. I just don't.
That was you, Jared, on January 28th, after the Predators lost to the Toronto Maple Leafs in their first game following their bye week. So imagine my surprise, or perhaps lack of surprise, when I searched your Twitter after the game to see you shout-tweeting about the Predators sweeping the Blues in consecutive games. To me, that doesn't sound like somebody who's out. That was quite definitive. You were done. You were out. They weren't turning the corner. So imagine my surprise to see how excited you seem to be about a team you were out on 3 weeks ago.
Okay, let me ask you a couple of questions with that. Number one, were you surprised? You said, imagine my surprise. Were you surprised that I had a take after the game was over?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Secondly, this was my tweet in all caps. The Predators won 3 in a row. They finished Judgment Week 3-1. They just swept the champs. Kyle Turris paid what he owed. Rene stole it. See you tomorrow on Jared and the GM. Is any of that not true?
It's all true, but what I'm saying is, you're not lying about what you wrote in the tweet.
You're implying that I am now, that I believe this team has turned the corner, or that I'm in on this team, or that I am, you know, that what I said on January, what was it, 28th?
28th.
What I said on January 28th, that I don't believe that. I mean, I firmly believe that. I mean, on Thursday, I was excited that Craig Smith got a hat trick because I want to trade him. And I'm not saying that this weekend wasn't a good weekend for the Predators. It was. If you're somebody who thinks that they can still turn the corner and do all of those things, and maybe they can, I don't know. But if you're somebody that's really adamant about that, you use this weekend as kind of a thing to tell you, hey, look, they can make their move. They can do it. They're going to do it. They're going to, like, we got all these texts into the text line that said, Poyle should be all in now. I don't feel that way.
I'm not saying, I'm just saying that for someone who was so adamantly out on the Predators,
to watch their games because I was out?
That, I'm not saying that either. What I'm saying is for someone who was so adamantly done with this team 3 weeks ago, you were awfully excited about their two wins this weekend.
That's my job to watch their games.
I'm not saying
it's my job to commentate on their games.
I'm just showing you how quickly your mind changes.
I just said I didn't change my mind.
All I'm saying is I told you that's what I wanted you to retract.
Floyd, at any time have I said that I believe that this team is going to be a buyer, that this team should go for it, that this team – I think I've held pretty firm that I would like to see Granlund traded. I would like to see Smith traded. I would like to see them try to beef up the farm system.
Still? Now?
Yeah. I mean, is that a crime?
No. I'm just
– I mean, I
I'm not sure what
sometimes
you're
I feel like I have to, you know.
Poor coach.
I mean, look, it would be bad, like, because this weekend was a good weekend for the coach. But that would be.
The coach that you were very skeptical about. The one that you were incredibly skeptical about.
You said that, I mean, again, like I said, I understand that some of the things that I have said.
Are stupid.
No, that's not what I was saying. Some of the things that I have said, you know, have not always been the most popular things in the world. That doesn't necessarily mean that I take them back. Like, I'm not – I feel the way I – look, yes, I was happy they won, but that's because I'm a fan of the team, not because I think the team is all of a sudden going to go to the Stanley Cup Final based upon what we saw this weekend.
I didn't say that you said that.
I mean, you do realize they're not in the playoff picture right now.
I understand that. I'm just saying that you personally, for someone who was so adamantly out on this team, what was it, 2-3 weeks ago – was awfully excited about the past week. For someone who said, I'm done, they're not turning the corner, I'm out, finito. Don't forget finito, that was my favorite part.
What did I tell you this morning? I texted back and said, did the Predators win a cup last night or something? Like, what did I miss? It was a great weekend, it was a good game. This team I mean, I brought this up. I thought Saturday's win was more impressive than Sunday's win because I thought that first period on Saturday, they played their you-know-what's off.
I thought yesterday's win was more impressive than Saturday's.
So did Floyd. But
because they were so clearly outplayed for most of it.
Oh, they were so out of gas, too. I mean, why would that be more impressive that they were outplayed?
Because this is why.
Adam Vingan in studio with us.
This is why I thought it was more impressive. The Blues had a distinct territorial advantage throughout that game. The Predators struggled for most of it to spend any significant time in the offensive zone. And we've talked about John Hines' emphasis on the mental fortitude, right? Most games the Predators play like that, they either A, get blown out of the arena, or B, find a way to screw it up at a critical juncture and then let it snowball.
Like Dallas in the Classic.
Yes. So the fact that they were able to play a solid enough game that they got tremendous goaltending from Pecorine, which we haven't seen lately, those two things combined with the fact that they were able to score a crunch time goal and hold the Blues off at the end to win, I think makes it more impressive. I think the effort on Saturday was better. I think the way the game unfolded yesterday led to a more impressive
victory. See, I thought Saturday's win was more impressive simply because of who scored Saturday. And the sense that if this team is going to prove me wrong for, the second time in 3-4 years or whatever, if this team's going to prove me wrong and they are going to turn this corner and they're going to do something in the playoffs, as much as everybody loves Craig Smith and Granlund and what they're doing, you're not going to be carried by Kyle Turris. It's going to be the big boys. It's going to be Duchesne. It's going to be Arvidsson. It's going to be those guys that scored Saturday. You're still going to need secondary scoring like every team needs secondary scoring. But I just thought the way they forechecked in the St. Louis game at St. Louis, the way that they created opportunities, they lived in their own end. And quite frankly, they beat a better goaltender Saturday than they did Sunday because Jordan Binnington is not playing like Jordan Binnington of last year. So I thought Saturday's game was more impressive if we're going to use that as an example of... To me, last night's game was a lot like the previous games where they get right there and then they throw out a stinker to Vegas. It was like that, except that the goalie just didn't let them lose.
Well, I mean, I certainly understand your viewpoint, and I agree that the most important part about Saturday's game were the players that were scoring the goals. But I just think... with the number of times we've seen this team start and stop and start and stop, that was a big game yesterday. And though it wasn't their best performance outside of Pecorine, they did not fold when it got tough. And I think just based on what we've spent so much time speaking about, this team's mental fortitude, as John Hines likes to put it, I think that was a positive step in the way that they handled that adversity, which we've seen, as you mentioned, the Winter Classic and other countless games throughout the season where when things get tough, they shrink. And they did not do that yesterday, and I think that bodes well.
How far can this team get the way they're playing now?
Well, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about. There are only so many games that Pekka can steal and UC can steal. I mean, last night was robbery by Pecorine. He was sensational, and he deserves a significant amount of the credit for that victory. But it goes back to what Jared was saying about the game in St. Louis, is that it's great that Grimaldi, Bonino, and Smith have been one of the most productive lines in the NHL. It's great that Mikhail Granlund and Kyle Turris have responded to the new coach and have received much more responsibility and have done well with it. But until Philip Forsberg and Ryan Johansson and Victor Arvidsson specifically, as well as Matt Duchesne, until they start carrying the load as they are paid to do, there is still reason to be skeptical, in my opinion. But it is a positive sign that they've been able to string together three games in a row. Craig Smith said yesterday that he couldn't believe it's been that long since they've won three in a row, and that it's unacceptable that it's been that long since they've won three in a row. So I think they're getting there, but they still need, as Jared says, the big boy forwards to step up.
You said that this line, the way it's playing now, is one of the better lines in the NHL?
Yes. If my math is right, they've outscored opponents 28-9 at 5-on-5 this season. The Predators have, when Grimaldi, Bonino, and Smith have been on the ice. That's like a 70. It's a little bit more than 75% of the goals, which is one of the highest rates in the league.
So how can that line not be good enough to carry you a little ways?
It's just because of the makeup of the line. I mean, Rocco Grimaldi and Nick Bonino and Craig Smith are all solid players, but they're not stars. And the Predators, as most, I mean, in the NHL, you don't need your stars to carry you as much as in the NBA. Like, the Lakers are going nowhere without LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
Right.
The Milwaukee Bucks are going nowhere without Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I would liken it to this, right? It's like Derrick Henry can run for 200 a game. Raheem Mostert does it one time, and we're like, wow, who the hell is Raheem Mostert?
Right.
He's a really good – like, but is Raheem Mostert – can you win a Super Bowl turning around and handing the ball to Raheem Mostert on every play? And the truth is Mostert's a guy who's bounced around, and he is what he is, and Derrick Henry is,
but I,
is who
my,
he is.
But my thing is, if in fact this line is playing as well as however many lines in the league, even though you may not be in love with them because they're not as pretty or not as talented or not, if they're as productive, then how can you not look at that as a positive?
Do you consider A.J. Brown a number one wide receiver?
No.
But A.J. Brown, you look at the stats over the last half of the year, A.J.'s stats were as good as a lot of number one receivers, but A.J. can't beat the best corners because A.J.'s not as good as the best corners.
Well, yeah, but these guys are doing it all.
Right, but like McKinnon's line in Colorado, because I would say like the best lines in the NHL, McKinnon's line in Colorado, Edmonton, Boston, Pastrnak,
Tampa,
right. Like every single night, Brad Marchand, David Pastrnak, and Patrice Bergeron literally draw the number one pair from whomever they play every single night, and the entire game plan is to stop those guys.
And I'm not arguing they're as good as those guys. I'm not saying that. I mean, I know there are lines out there that are better. My point is, if in fact, and I had no idea these guys were playing this good.
They've been very good. And the most impressive thing about it is that they're doing it and they're not getting plum assignments. You know, they're not starting all of their shifts in the offensive zone. In fact, they're starting most of their shifts outside of the offensive zone. So they're able to dictate play while being put at a territorial disadvantage by their coach because he trusts them in those neutral zone and defensive zone situations. So that makes it more impressive. But, you know, I wrote about Victor Arvidsson today. We've talked about Ryan Johansson. We've talked about Philip Forsberg. You know, I just think for as well as that Bonino line is playing, and they deserve a lot of credit, and Roman Josi too, for basically carrying this team through most of the season on defense. You know, it's hard to win a championship in the NHL when your stars aren't performing like stars.
Four guys.
Yeah.
You're talking about, you know.
Exactly. So, I mean, the Predators can maybe get away with that for a little while, and they've gotten away with it through most of the season. But as the going gets tough, they're going to need those other players to step up their
game. Adam Vingan in studio with us. What do you think Poile does at the deadline?
Well, you mentioned that you've received some texts about from listeners who want to go all in, right?
Oh, yes.
This week
improved it. All in, Jared.
I don't think they should do that. I think we've seen enough all-in moves over the past 3 or 4 years, not just at the deadline, but in general, from David Poile, whether it's Ryan Johansson, Kyle Turris, Matt Duchene, P.K. Subban, Mikhail Granlund, Ryan Hartman, Wayne Simmonds, Brian Boyle. We've seen enough of them. This team, as constructed, has enough of those win-now players on there. So, if anything, what I think this team needs is defensive help. And the problem with that is the first major defenseman went off the market yesterday. The Devils traded their captain, Andy Green, to the New York Islanders for a second-round pick and a mid-level prospect. Andy Green is a 37-year-old defensive defenseman with a full no-trade or full no-move clause, and he fetched a second-round pick. So the other high-priced defenseman or the highly coveted defenseman, whether it's Brendan Dillon in San Jose, Sammy Vatanen in New Jersey, that their price just went up. I don't think David Poile should break the bank in terms of future assets to bring in the big prized rental or big prized player with 1 year left on their contract. I think if anything, he should nibble around the edges, hope that Ryan Ellis is healthy and comes back, and go with what he has. I just don't think they've mortgaged enough of their future over the past few years I don't think they should do it again.
Is there anybody on this roster that you could willingly trade for somebody like that?
Ooh, that's tough. Just because the players that we've talked about that this team should trade or would be most valuable, Mikael Granlund or Craig Smith,
yeah,
they're playing incredibly well.
Yeah.
And I know what Jared's saying about their price just went up because they're playing so well. Well, they have been key contributors under John Hines. If you trade them, you're not waving a white flag. But it makes it considerably harder to make the playoffs.
Oh, I told Floyd. I said, if you trade those guys, and I mean, I'm still, I just look at the farm system. They need more. Like, they need more picks. They need more players. They need more impact guys. But if you trade those guys, what are you doing to this coach? Like, you just brought this coach in, and the coach has come with the mantra of, I don't care who you are. I don't care how much money you make. If you play well, I'm playing you.
Right.
And the guys that have taken to this coach, you then trade out.
Right.
So now he's got to run the guys that he's trying to send the message to out there to win for him. Like, you're really cutting this coach's legs out from under him if you do that to him. And yet the assets are also important, too.
Right. And I think, you know, what helps is they have their first-round pick this year, and they also have the Devils' second-round pick, which is going to be a high second-round pick because the Devils are bad. So it's almost like two late first-round picks instead of a first and a second. So that works to their advantage. And I believe they have two third-round picks as well. So they're stocked in the draft pick department. You know, very rarely are first-round picks traded. There was one traded yesterday for Blake Coleman from New Jersey to Tampa. But, you know, he has a year left on his contract. He has a really small cap hit. He's a 25-goal guy. I believe he's younger than both Granlund and Smith. So, you know, perhaps Granlund, the way he's playing, could fetch you a second-round pick from whichever team. But if it's a contender, it's going to be a low second-round pick. So do you trade the player who's most improved under the new coach, you know, for a pick in the 50s or 60s? Mm. I mean, it's hard.
Tough.
So, I don't think it would be wrong of the Predators to hold on to Granlund, for example, as an own rental, almost similarly to what the Blue Jackets did last year with their guys, saying the likelihood of us re-signing Mikael Granlund is not likely, but he's playing well. Let's see how he does. You know, perhaps we can work something out, and if it doesn't, so be it. But he's playing too well right now to trade. It wouldn't send the right message. Let's keep this thing going. So, I mean, they have three games left before the trade deadline. So there's still time. But, you know, I don't envy David Poile. He has some tough decisions to make.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic will be hosting Preds Insiders with Ryan Porth today at 6 o'clock. And apparently I have been told by hearing the promo 17 times today that you guys will address whether or not the Preds have turned the corner after their weekend against St. Louis.
Well, we won't be asking you for your opinion on that.
We'll wait there. Be there. We'll try to stay out of trouble. Adam Vingan, as always, joining us, Jared, the GM at ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared of the GM, we will be live tomorrow at Pete and Terry's Tavern, Bridgestone Arena. We ask everybody to stop on by, say hey. Should be a lot of fun tomorrow. Text her into the text line. Our conversation with Adam Vingan says, I am loving this so much. Of course, Adam and I arguing, which, by the way, I mean, I won the argument, right?
Now, he was getting after you. I mean, you flip flopped on me.
I didn't flip flop at all.
Oh, okay.
Ian, did I flip flop at all?
I don't think it was a complete flip flop yet.
It wasn't even a flip flop. He was like, see, you got excited about the game. I'm like, that's my job to watch the games. When you invest time in watching a game, you get excited by the end of the outcome. I didn't get on the air today and say,
would you get excited about a team you've dumped? Why would that excite you at all?
I still have to watch their games. We still commentate on their games.
But you don't have to get excited. I mean, you would commentate, but you wouldn't be real thrilled.
I mean, Vanderbilt stinks, and they beat LSU 2 weeks ago, and I got excited
about that.
Who's
talking about Vanderbilt? We're not talking about
Vanderbilt.
That
doesn't make me think that Vanderbilt basketball is going to the Final Four because they beat LSU.
Basketball. We're not talking about those things. I'm just curious.
You said a team. Why would you get excited about a team you've dumped? Which, by the way, dumped is a little strong. But, but why? And I mean, dumped is strong, like in the way you're saying it, because that's the kind of you know, rub people the wrong way. And a team who I don't believe. I mean, I haven't changed my mind about the Seahawks. I still want to trade those guys. The only reason I wouldn't want to trade those guys is because I worry about what it would do to Hines. To, like, if you trade those guys, then are you cutting Hines' legs out from under him? That's the only thing that I'm worried about. Yeah, I want to trade those guys to get the picks.
You're certainly not giving him any help.
Oh, no. I mean, you can't. And then there's a part of me that thinks, like, you know, it's a business, and the Predators make a lot of money when they go to the playoffs, so is it worth trying to get to the playoffs, just seeing what can happen, and, you know, selling out some home games, some extra home games that you get because you're in the playoffs? Like, now, that's none of my concern, whether or not they sell tickets, because, you know, that's
not my checkbook.
But
yeah, and again, I think this is why the decision for whoever's making the decision is going to be so much harder than it has been. Because in my mind, this is just me thinking about it. I mean, there are more elements to this decision than ever before. Not ever, but over the last few years. So it'll be interesting to see how this whole thing turns out.
Oh, there are so many elements.
And again, I'm kind of like Adam. I don't see a lot happening. And that would be fine with me. I mean, I would understand that. So, however it turns out, they'll do the best.
I mean, it is what it is. Like, I'm excited. I mean, it's good that they won. Like, we're not taking away from that. But it's, as you said, going into the weekend, if you had your mind made up as GM of a team and you go in and you win a bunch of games, the one thing that's going to do is that's then going to turn you to say, well, I can't trade Smith now because he's scoring all the goals. Whereas if you went in with the mindset of we're going to deal these guys, then you have to stand by that. And I don't know if David Poile was holding himself to that or not. I don't know that if he had his mind made up. I don't know. But I feel like just knowing how stubborn you are, if you decided that you had your mind made up, they could have won 100-0 and you still were going to do what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
Not that David's as stubborn as you. I'm just saying that's what you
would have. Yeah, if I would have had my mind made up that I was going to deal these two guys or not deal these two guys, you know, whatever the case may be, I think I would stick to it. Again, not letting the weekend and a couple of games change my mind.
I also think you are like the least emotional person I've ever met.
What does that mean?
I mean, like, I don't think that there's anything other than being inconvenienced. There's nothing that really gets you upset one way or another. Like, I'm just telling the people out there, you really want to make Floyd mad, inconvenience him, and then that will, you will see. Like, you do something about, like, oh, yeah, your car, you're going to have to wait 20 minutes to get your car. That's going to, let's not do that. Or, like, you know, could Floyd spend the day today doing X, Y, Z, where it's like one of those things where you really don't want to do it, but you do it, and it's... I try to stress to people, let's not ask Floyd about
it. For so many years, it was kind of, can you? And you couldn't say no.
But I never see you get like emotional about like a Titans player, a Titans game. Now, I'm sure when you were GM.
Yeah, but For the Love of the Game, have you ever seen the movie For the Love of the Game?
I know, you tell me you always cry in that movie.
I bawl like a baby every time I see it.
And it's not about the love story between the guy and the girl. It's about the guy pitching the no-hitter?
Yeah, it's about the baseball part.
That is so weird.
I saw that
movie when I was 10 years old because I was a big baseball fan. I went to the movie. I walked out. I was like, that movie sucked. All I wanted to see was baseball. It was about Kevin Costner and his girl. And all I wanted to see was baseball, and there was so little baseball in that movie.
That kills me.
And you cry about that. You don't cry about the love between the guy and the girl.
No. That didn't mean much.
Again, Floyd is the that's probably why you were such a good GM, is because you just didn't operate with emotion. Like, when it was time to cut Eddie George, you cut Eddie George. And I'm sure it wasn't easy to cut Eddie George.
That was hard.
But at the same time, I don't think that you even thought twice about it when you did it.
Well, we didn't have a lot of choice.
And that's because you don't operate with emotion. Whereas people that operate with emotion... when they don't really have a choice, or the right choice is staring them square in the face, they convince themselves that they do have a choice.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Preds Insiders is coming up next.